Please join in singing hymn number 163, For the Earth Forever Turning, hymn 163. If you need a hymnal at home to sing along, check your email newsletter. There's information on how to get one. Hymn number 163.
Good morning. Our opening words today are by Louise Erdick, entitled Advice to Myself. Leave the dishes. Let the celery rot in the bottom drawer of the refrigerator, and an earthen scum harden on the kitchen floor. Leave the black crumbs in the bottom of the toaster. Throw the cracked bowl out and don't patch the cup. Don't patch anything. Don't mend. Buy safety pins. Don't even sew on a button. Let the wind have its way, then the earth, foaming up in gray rolls underneath the couch. Talk to them. Tell them they are welcome. Don't keep all the pieces of the puzzles or the doll's tiny shoes in pairs. Don't worry about who uses whose toothbrush, or if anything matches at all. Accept one word to another, or a thought. Pursue the authentic. Decide first what is authentic, and then go after it with all your heart. Your heart, that place you don't even think of cleaning out, that closet stuffed with savage mementos. Don't sort the paper clips from screws, from saved baby teeth, or worry if we're all eating cereal for dinner again. Don't even answer the telephone, or weep over anything at all that breaks. Pink mulch will grow within those sealed cartons and talk life to the dead who drift in through the screened windows, who collect patiently on the tops of food jars and books. Recycle the mail. Don't read it. Don't read anything, except what destroys the insulation between yourself and your experience, or what pulls down, or what strikes out, or what shatters this ruse that you call necessity. I'm taking a moment today to publicly thank Karen St. Peter, our congregational administrator, for her 3-year tenure here. Karen's last day was Friday, as I announced and as was announced in the newsletter as well. She took to take another full-time job, although she really had no plans of leaving. She loved working with us, and it was evident in her joy and in her presence, and of course in her amazing ability to organize us in ways that we had not been. So we'll miss her, and I want to acknowledge that. Thank you. My mom, I've been thinking about her a lot lately. It's been just about a year since she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. The diagnosis shocked her, and it shocked us, but ultimately not enough for her to completely lose focus. For years, since the time I was a young adult, my mom had insisted she was going to be creative in her retirement, an old lady artist, she contended. And she held on to that dream, and it came true, very much so. In the last 6 or 7 years of her life, she became remarkably accomplished in both pottery and sculpture. And even after her illness began to weaken her, it was the art that most drew her energy and her motivation. She had found her dream, and she wasn't letting it go. And I know that she wasn't. That she isn't, that none of us are, really ever separated from those dreams. I know from speaking to you, from listening to you, that you dream of more. And I think it's the human condition to yearn, to carry a dream not yet fulfilled in our hearts or in our mind. And I do recognize that sometimes dreams are meant to stay in that realm, that sometimes it's just the dream itself we need, not the outcome, and I honor that. But I speak of something more tangible here, those dreams that we do long for in this lifetime, but that something, time, circumstances, money, fear, has prevented us from seeking, building, and creating. And that's where we explore today. And so I ask you, what is your dream? What are the dreams you hold in your heart? And what is it that you're hesitant to name lest it come true or not? These were the questions I posed to a group of us of UUCSCers last week. This question and the deeply vulnerable responses, it led to a depth of conversation that felt remarkable to me. It taught us about each other and about ourselves in some truly profound ways. You know, and it's easy these days to conclude that dreams are a luxury, an afterthought, and maybe even inappropriate, that we shouldn't spend our energies there when the world needs us in so many other places. But to the contrary, we need our dreams more than ever. You know, if we look at art, at literature, at anything creative, it's times such as these, when the world seems to have lost its footing, that people begin to dream of and create something more. We go into ourselves and we explore the spaces that perhaps we can't access right then in the external world. Maybe science fiction fantasies or art from a not yet realized era. We create this beauty and this magic where nothing else previously existed. And it's in these ways that we begin to live into a future not yet known. And I'm not referring only to dreams for the external world, but for ourselves as well. Maybe it's the lingering hope for love or for a different sort of family structure. Maybe it's to allow ourselves to explore an art form, maybe we want to learn or teach something, or heal from a long-standing spiritual wound. Maybe there is someone in our lives who we want to heal a relationship with. And I know this isn't what we talk about a lot, this stuff of dreams. We tend to, or maybe more accurately, I tend to, I look at the hard stuff, the fears and the unknown, and it's not meant to center our focus there, but instead to bring those parts to light so that we can look at them, heal them, and as we do so, we grow and we shift, and room is made for yet more. Room is made for dreams and explorations beyond our known day-to-day lives. And I'll let you in on a secret, though I think it's one you've long since figured out about me. I always have a dream, and often more than one at a time. To give you but just one example, I applied for and recently was accepted into a year-long spiritual direction program. Just 1 week and a month. Easy to do while I'm still ministering. But I'll be starting this fall, and I'm really excited about it. The program will train me to explore more deeply with myself, with you, and maybe with others, where are our spirits leading us? It'll teach me to better accompany you on that journey with presence, and to help you and myself live more deeply into our core truths. I'll learn more, I expect, of what I know to be true, that when dreams are loud air and sunlight, they grow, and they're sometimes manifested into something truly amazing. But I know, too, that it's not only what we create, but it's also the dreams and the aspirations themselves, that holding of space for more beauty and possibility, that's part of what buoys us. So for me, and hopefully for you, there's this beautiful duality that I get to both move closer to my dreams and in the process, maybe learn better how to help you connect further with yours. And this feels especially important right now, as I think many of us are accepting that the practical world is unlikely to feel easier anytime soon. It seems like it's going to take us a while to find our way into the new normal, whatever that looks like. And so we need then to go deeper, to search the depths of our spiritual and creative lives. What is it that can be created in these quiet times? What are the projects, the partnerships, the possibilities to be made manifest? And I recognize that I'm asking us to fight a voice that wants to keep us small. That messaging, that false messaging that says we aren't special, or that reaching for dreams is too risky, or that our only role is to be responsible adults. The invitation is to live into life now, to be honest and transparent about who we are, and to seek dreams with abandon. There are those among you who are songwriters, vocalists, poets. You are amazing parents and friends. You're brilliant woodworkers, athletes, academics. There is so much light and energy among you, and I know there's yet more. I challenge us, beloveds. I challenge us to move outside the realm of safety and known, to be breathtakingly brave and audacious in our dreams. I want you to give voice to that dream, whatever it is, this week, to someone. And even if you only tell your cat or your dog, whoever and whatever you tell your wildest visions to, do so. Say it out loud, more than once, if you will. And keep saying it to more and more people. Let the universe hear your voice, your openness to receiving the gift you yearn for. In 2007, I began to dream of being a minister. It didn't make any sense. My then partner was seriously not a fan of the idea. The church elders in my UU congregation in Long Beach repeatedly warned me of the loss of income I'd experience, and none of this really dissuaded me. I believed that this was my path, although I couldn't say why. And to be honest, my life until that time had not in the least evidenced the future of a path to ministry. And it was a complicated trip here. But it's a trip I got to take, am taking, and it's one of the best things that I've done with my life so far. It started with a dream, with a longing that I couldn't explain, let alone rationalize, with a lot of risk and a lot of privilege. And I didn't emerge from the process the same person who began it. I changed, and in ways I didn't anticipate. But the dream fueled me here and will keep me for some years to come, believing that faith, combined with a willingness to risk and the support of loving community, can move us into an unimaginably changed and creative version of ourselves, if we let it. In this time of so much unknown, we can lean into that not knowing and create beauty and possibility. And I'd love to look back with you in 5 years or however long and say, wow, look at that thing that we did, we created, we became. So may we live extra bravely, open to and yearning to explore even the most radical of possibilities. May we make it so. Our closing words today are by poet David White, entitled The Sun. This morning, on the desk facing up, a poem celebrating a lost love. She was the sun, he said, lives in the fiber of his arms, her warmth through all the years folding the old man's hand in hers of a Sunday Dublin morning. Sometimes reading, I look out at everything growing so wild and faithfully beneath the sky and wonder why we are the one terrible part of creation privileged to refuse our flowing. I know in the text of the heart, the flower is our death and the first opening of a new life we have yet to imagine. But I'm reminded of how I want to know that sun, and how I want to flower, and how I want to claim my happiness and how I want to walk through life amazed and inarticulate with thanks. And how I want to know that warmth through love itself and through the sun itself. I want to know that sun of happiness when I wake and see through my window the morning color of the far mountain. I want to know when I lean down to the lilies by the water and feel their small and perfect reflection on my face. I want to know that gift when I walk innocent through the trees, burning with life and the green passion of the pasture's first growth. And I want to know as lazily as cows that tear at the grass with their soft mouths. I want to know what I am and what I am involved with by loving this world as I do. And I want time to think of all the unlived lives, those that failed to notice until it is too late, those with eyes staring with bitterness, and those met on the deathbed whose mouths are wide with unspoken love. Each year they keep me faithful and help me to realize there is more to lose than I thought and more at stake than I could dream. Please join us in our closing song.
The flame of peace and love until we meet again. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again.